Hello, and welcome back to your favorite podcast,
De-Influence.
I have really good news.
Your makeup.
No.
What?
That, I'll tell you about my makeup. We didn't get canceled
for our last episode. In fact, quite the opposite.
Quite the opposite. If y'all didn't listen to our last episode, I've never had so many people DM me screenshots and be like, she left no crumbs.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever said that I left no crumbs. About? But like, I feel like that's a really big compliment. I left no crumbs.
What do we talk about?
Oh, we talked about how social media is fake, trad wise, traditional wise.
Oh, I remember that conversation.
Jordan blacks out
after
each episode, so he has to ask me what we talked about.
Several times I have friends come up to me and say, man, just love the pod this week. And I was like, oh, really? What are we talking about?
Yeah,
I forget everything.
That happens often because we kind of just go off the rails, but I'm just so happy to be sitting here to live another day. On De-Influence.
Yeah, you did good. It was definitely, I do remember you being more honest and open than you've probably ever been on this pod.
It felt good.
It felt good. Therapeutic?
Yes, some would say.
Yes.
How are you feeling?
I'm good.
Be honest, we felt the hesitation in your voice.
Oh, no, I'm good. It's funny, it's ironic because last week we talked about TikTok a lot, right?
Yeah.
And now I feel like we're feeling like the pressure of TikTok.
You can be honest about what happened this morning.
Okay, so Danny and I got into a fight this morning. But we didn't really get in a fight. I would say we got in a misalignment because we're on the same team. We're going in the same direction.
Yeah, okay.
Here's what happened. Can I tell you what happened?
Okay.
You said it best this morning. You said we didn't change, our platform changed. So maybe unpack that a little bit.
No, because here's the thing that I feel like you're still not understanding.
Oh, gosh.
Feel like the issue this morning has nothing to do with our jobs. I just am not feeling heard. And I've listened to a podcast this week. This is funny that you bring it up. There's this girl named Danielle Jackson. Mm-hmm. And she talks about, she's like a friendship expert.
Yeah.
And she talks about what makes a relationship successful is when you feel safe, seen, and supported. I feel safe, I feel supported, but I don't feel seen. And so what's happening here is you're getting caught up in the logistics.
Yes.
When really, I just feel like you're not hearing me. And I feel like whenever I'm trying to express like what I want to do moving forward with some of my content, you're just combative. And so it's like, I feel like mm-hmm. I'm just trying to like talk things out, but I feel like I'm not being heard because it's just like always combated. And then I feel like I'm having to climb Mount Everest just to get one point across.
Yeah. I apologize for making you climb Mount Everest very specifically this morning. Mm-hmm. Is there a specific word or phrase that I use that makes you feel like I'm not listening?
Honestly, it's just the fact that you say anything in response to what I'm talking about. I feel that. Sometimes I'm just like you just said, okay, yeah, I see what you're saying. And then move on instead of like always combating me.
Yeah, you know,
like arguing, like what, like, you know what I mean?
It's so funny because a lot of my newly married friends or our newly married friends, they ask me for advice all the time. They're like, oh man, has this ever happened? And it's like, I feel like sometimes I'm the sensei because I'm a little bit older than our friends. Mm-hmm. And usually always I say, hey, listen, they're not looking for you to fix the problem. They're looking to feel understood in the problem.
Well, here's the thing with Jordan. Oh, sorry. Did I interrupt you? Go ahead.
No, it's okay. And so what's so funny about this morning's tiff is that I really genuinely went into it with the mindset of like, I'm not here to fix this. I'm here to listen.
I know, but you're still missing the mark. And that was like the most frustrating part about it.
What was the mark?
Okay, here's another thing that is really complicated with Jordan. It's like, hey Jordan, I want to start making smoothies. Jordan's like, okay, well, let's sit down and build out a whole process for how we're going to make these smoothies. Okay, so on Tuesday, we're going to go to the grocery store. And then on Wednesday, we'll sit down and we'll brainstorm all the different flavors that we can make with our smoothies. And then on Thursday, and I'm like, can we just go to the store and make the dang smoothie, you know? And like, yeah. Because nobody knows how to make the smoothie until we just go do it.
Yeah.
And sometimes I just feel like talking about it and setting up all these processes. And like, when I'm like, but we don't even really know, neither of us know what we're doing. Let's just do it.
Yeah.
You know, I think for me too, like, it's hard because words don't mean a lot to me and words mean everything for you. Like I'm more action oriented and you're more words.
Like, well, I'm more like, hey, like let's, okay, you're giving me a problem. I would love to help you solve the problem. Here's the plan of how we should solve the problem. Can we agree? And then let's move forward. And you're like, no, let's just like start solving the problem now.
Let's just do it.
The other thing is I would just question this. You're an Enneagram 3 wing 4.
Yeah.
Okay. So a 4 is a individualist.
Yeah.
Inherently, I feel like 4s feel misunderstood quite often.
Every day.
Okay. So do you feel like I'm maybe climbing Mount Everest trying to make you feel understood when inherently your personality type, the way that God made you, is like constantly feeling misunderstood?
But you lost me there. I mean, my brain is not big enough to compute what you're even saying.
In this moment, when you were feeling not heard and misunderstood, my first question is, do you feel like the less words I said, probably the better?
Yes.
Okay. I do too.
To be honest, I felt like you were sucking the joy out of it. Like, because to me, it's like going and making strawberry smoothies should be like a fun thing.
Okay.
Right?
But I just want you to know.
We do together. Like, let's go make a strawberry smoothie. Let's just go to the store. Let's figure it out. It's like fun to be adventurous and not plan every single moment of the strawberry smoothie making, you know, process.
Yeah.
But as soon as we start like talking so much about it and like trying to figure it out,
I feel like you get overwhelmed.
It's overwhelming. It's like, this isn't even fun anymore. It's like, this is now just a formula.
Yeah.
When it's like, just have fun with it. I am also very driven by fun. And I feel like when the joy or fun is taken out of something, I don't want to do it anymore.
So here's the second landmine I feel like I stepped on. So one, I said a word or too many words. I said a lot of words. I said too many words. That was unfair.
My other issue is like sometimes, oh, this is what really gets me. Okay. I think what really gets me is then you start to act like you're an expert in strawberry making smoothies. You know, when I'm like, you've never done it either. So I'm like, and then I'm like, but you, and you're like, oh, I know exactly what we need. I'm like, how would you know? We've never done it.
Yeah.
And so then I get frustrated too, because I'm like, no, you're wrong.
I remember my second big point. So here was my second big point is I think with you, and this is real, when you came into the conversation, you said, you know, it kind of sucked the fun out of the room or out of the solution, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But what I've learned so much in our marriage is that you really do feed off of my energy. So, and I feed off your energy. So when you came in, it's not like you were like, bibbidi bobbidi boop, let's make some strawberry smoothies. You were like, oh, I've got to figure out how to make strawberry smoothies. You were down, right? And so then I was like, oh my gosh, like she's down. Like, well, now I'm kind of down. Like, let's just talk about this. Let's figure it out. When is in reality, what I should have done is been like, babe, like, let's just go make strawberry smoothies. It's not a big deal.
Yes. I'm right? A very I should have countered driven person. And so like words don't mean a lot to me. It's like, how can you, my mom always said, it's not what you say to someone. It's how you make them feel.
Yes.
And so sometimes just the words are just like gibberish.
It's like when you're down, it's like, I need to very much like remember that I'm your counterweight. Like, and it, I said it this to you in the argument. I was like, this will be as big of a deal as I make it, not as you make it. Cause like, you're obviously upset about it. So like, if I make it a big deal and I get upset about it too, then it's going to be a big deal. Yeah. But if I'm just like, hey, let's move on, let's move on. So lesson learned.
Lesson learned. I'm glad we talked it out. It's all good now.
Yeah. F TikTok though. For real. I hope that sucker gets banned.
I don't think it will. You think it will?
No, I can only hope and pray.
Well, you know, we've been talking about our personal relationship. I listened to that podcast about friendships and I feel like, so I started running with Ellie again, right?
Yeah.
It was so hard. Ellie and I used to run like 2 or 3 times a week together. And, the best part about running with Ellie was not the fact that like, you know, we were getting like more fit. It's just like having someone with you that is so interested. Like we're so similar and having that like camaraderie weekly is so good for me, because what I learned through this podcast, what I thought was so interesting was like high achieving females have a hard, and I think high achieving people in general have a really hard time maintaining like the quality of their friendships.
Oh, 100%.
Because it's like always going to be put on the back burner.
Yeah.
And what happens with a lot of friendships, and I've noticed that a lot of my friendships that have gone to die is when I've also connected with other high achieving females, and we basically are like, we are friends because we're both high achieving females. Therefore, we're more interested in each other's work than we are like friends. And it's just because like that's, we already struggle with like, you know, achievement in general. And then I think where my friendships that have like failed have gone is like, typically I can start to feel that from them. Like I feel like, oh, they're only hanging out with me because, you know, I got this brand deal, or because I'm posting on social media, or because they care that like this video popped off. And you can like feel that energy from them. And so then I start to like freak out, and I like start to push build people walls. Away, build walls, set boundary. And so it's just kind of like, I don't know, it was like very eye-opening. There was a study that was done at Harvard, and they followed people for like 80 years. And they measured like basically out of everything that they received, whether it was finance, marriage, materialism, whatever it was, what actually brought them the most amount of joy. And it was always not the quantity in their friendships, but the quality of the relationships.
Right.
And so, it was just like very, it was so good because it was specifically talking about people like me. Like, I feel like Ellie is so good at like, it's so natural for her. Like, she always prioritizes time with people before she prioritizes time, like even by herself. One of the best tips that they gave was look at the things that you do by yourself throughout your day. Because back in, they did like a study in 2013, we were doing like, spending like on average each week, 6 hours a week with our friends. And nowadays we're only spending 2 hours a week with our friends. A lot of that is probably like because we're on our phones.
Yeah.
But they were like, look at the things that you do by yourself, whether it's like going to do groceries or going on a run or things that you just typically are alone for, and start like picking one of those things and start doing it with a friend.
That's so hard for me.
I know.
For me specifically, I'm like, I would kind of rather do it by myself. Like I went and saw Dune 2.
You went by yourself.
And I went by myself. And I will say Dune 2 was so magnificent and epic that I was like, oh my gosh, I wish I had someone to talk to about this. Cause like no one else would get it unless you were in there. You know, but yeah, I struggle with this a lot. And I think that for me, it's because I also think I'm high achieving. Would you say so?
Yeah.
Okay. So I think I'm a high achieving person. And so I go through really like big waves of seasons where if I'm in like an unhealthy state, I'm like all work, friendships go on the back burner, you know? And I actually think I'm in one of those right now. I need to publicly apologize to, Adam, Tiffany Houghton's husband.
Why? What'd you do?
Well, I need to apologize to him on this podcast because I remember,
make it public.
Well, we called him once, remember?
Yes, and you're like,
and put him on the spot.
Am I a good friend? He's like, yeah, Danny's a great friend.
Yeah. And now I feel like it's like, so in that season, I really feel like I was focused. I was like, I don't want to work as much, you know, like I really want to focus on relationships. Like I want to chill. I want to be a good dad. And so I sort of teased him with that season. And then I,
like you let him on.
Yeah. Because like, so here's why. Cause then he invited me and a bunch of us to a soccer league, an adult soccer league.
You agreed. Has it started yet?
Oh yeah. There's been 3 games and I haven't gone. I also said I was going to make the jerseys and I never did.
Jordan, that is so not cool.
I know it's not cool. But also I asked Divi if they could help me make the jerseys and then I just never heard from them. And so that was a whole thing. Cause we were going to have Iris, his AI company's logo and Divi's logo.
Sponsored by Iris.
And yeah. So it just never happened. But, I feel bad about that. To be fair, maybe this isn't fair. The games are Thursdays at 9 PM.
Babe, you're available.
No, Thursdays at 9 PM.
You're
at,
available.
At night.
You're watching Breaking Bad in bed last night at 9 PM.
But why was I saying this? Oh, because I do feel like it's really hard to go in and out. For me, it's like I don't commit to friendships usually because I'm like, I don't want to let you down in the future because it's never been a steady enough state, you know, where I'm like, I feel like I can be reliable. And so it's like before I fail you, I don't want to like give you the idea that I can be a good friend.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Where are your friendships at with the OG Instagram husbands?
Like Rick and...
Yeah, like, I mean, the guys that we used to hang out with.
Nothing happened. Nothing dramatic. I feel like we all I feel like all the guys kind of went through the same thing. Like, I don't know if this is like a particular problem to me and friendships. Like, I think that a lot of times guys or men you know, especially if they're married and have kids, like your kids and your wife and your business and all these other things that you feel like you're constantly problem solving for all day, you know, those become the priorities so that when you do get a free space, like for me, I'm like, okay, I just want to be alone. Like, I just want to be by myself. And I know that Rick Newton is like that as well.
Well, so it actually was like quite validating from this podcast. It said that typically we cycle through new friends every 7 years.
Yes.
And we had been friends with those people for about 7 years. And I think we still are. And it's nothing like there was never like a breakup or anything. It's just like life's kind of like shifts and really changes every 7 years. So like your circle and your community change. And so it actually made a lot of sense.
I'm okay with that. Like, I think that sometimes the standard, or not the norm, but the expectation maybe is that you have these friends for life. That. And I kind of gave that up after high school. Like, I had a really good group of friends through middle school, high school, and then we kind of stayed in touch through college. But then as we got married and started having kids, it just, we all went in different directions, but there's no hard feelings about it.
She talks about that. She's like, honestly, most people that are still friends with like their friends from childhood, not always, but a lot of times it's really forced and it becomes very toxic because the only reason you're friends is because you've been friends for a long time, but you're not actually serving each other in like the stage of life that you're in. So she actually was like, it's actually healthier to have like newer, fresher friends that are coming in and like meeting you where you're at.
Yeah.
But like, of course, trying to maintain the old ones, but right. It's not like everything, you know?
So what was your biggest takeaway in terms of like your friendships now? Like, it sounds like this is a really impactful podcast.
I'm just a horrible friend. It's exhausting. No, I'm actually not, but just like, I'm going to start running with Ellie again. For high achieving people, it's really important to like try to get like things on the calendar and like stick to them.
Yeah.
Because we're not like the people that are good. Like, if we have an extra hour, you're probably going to go work. You're not going to be like, who wants to go play pickleball? But if it's like, you know, Tuesdays we play pickleball, like I'll show up because I'll like coordinate it.
Yeah.
And like, and that's okay. She said that was that was healthy. Mm. I don't know. This is interesting.
That's so interesting.
It's interesting that like you can make a job out of anything, you know, she's a friendship expert. It's pretty
cool. Is really cool. Are you still reading ACOTAR?
No. Well, I actually am not.
Was that, did it just fall off or?
I don't want to say that like I won't pick it up again. I read ACOTAR, the first book, and then I read A Court of Mist and Fury, and I'm probably like halfway through that book. To be honest, like I've never read a book like this, and I think I touched on it a little bit, but like, okay, the biggest reason was actually, it actually kind of gets like pretty complicated. Like there's a lot of new characters introduced and like not a lot of new settings, and like it's all fantasy, so it's like kind of a little overwhelming. The first book was like more like, okay, there's like, the setting is not so crazy. There's like one or two places that they go. Right now, I'm a little confused as to what's going on. So I think that honestly kind of got me out of it. Two, there were like some questionable feel. Like I kind of started to have like nightmares.
Oh.
Or like I would like, okay, this is so silly.
No, this is good.
But I was driving to Target, and I think I mentioned this. I might have talked about this on the podcast. But like, have you ever seen those trucks where they have like the decals all over them and it's like fire and like skeletons? And
yeah.
I don't know. There was this like big red truck that was in front of me and it had like these blue flames and the flames turned into skeletons. And like, I felt like I was like in ACOTAR and like, I was like, this is like, it's like I noticed evil for the first time when typically I would look past that. And like, but I like saw it and I like looked at it and I like related it to ACOTAR. I related it to what I was reading to. And like, I saw myself thinking about evil when like I typically would be like, ugh, skeleton. But then I was like, where would the skeleton be? And like, I don't know. It was just weird. Like it was like a weird thought process. And so then I was like, ew, I don't really like that my mind went there. So then I just like kind of quit.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying I won't finish the book because I am very curious about what happens, honestly, just to the characters.
If I don't know if this is just like circumstantial with like you PMSing or something, but like, I really feel like you became more emotionally distant when you were reading ACOTAR. Is that is that a thing?
Reading a lot. Like,
No, that's not what I'm talking about. Like, I'm not talking about like mentally, like it was like almost like,
I also had the flu when I was reading.
See, that it might have been circumstantial. But for me, in my crazy mind, when I was like trying to figure out, I was like, what's going on? I was like, it's ACOTAR. I was like, she's in fantasy world.
No, I don't feel like it. I think it was just like when you get really invested in something, and so like your free time goes to it.
That's but fair.
I don't think I was like emotionally.
I want that for you though.
Yeah, it wasn't. It didn't make me like feel any way about like our marriage or anything. It was just more. It's like the fantasy side of it. Like I don't know. It's like weird.
That makes sense.
So yeah, I'll probably finish it. I have some other books. There's another book. There's a new book by Kristen Hanna called, I think, The Women or something that I'm like, I cannot wait to read.
Is she the historical fiction girl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's so good. Those books are phenomenal. So yeah, we tried the VR glasses at the Apple store.
Yeah, kind of lame.
What are they called? The Apple?
Yeah, the Vision Pros.
Yeah.
I thought it was a really great experience. Mm-hmm. Like, you should definitely go in for a demo.
Just so you know, the demos take like 25 minutes. You do have to have an appointment. Yes. It's like a whole thing.
It's a whole thing.
And then you can't split the demo. So it's like, if you're going to go with your husband, you need to do a 25 minute appointment for you and then a 25 minute appointment for your husband.
Yeah. I would say it was interesting. Definitely very immersive. It gave me a hint of like what the future could look like. And it does blow my mind when I think about it. But I walked out of there and I was like, I don't need this. Like, I don't know what I would do with it.
How much are the VR glasses?
Like $3,600. So it's like a lot of people say that what they're struggling with them is like, what do I do with this after I buy it? Even the guy who was supposed to be selling it to us, like, yeah, I'm going to use it after my first week.
He's like, it just sits on my, he said his mom watches like all of her Netflix.
Yeah. So I'm sure it's great for like watching movies. Like, I think if you're like on a plane, it's great. You know,
I'm going to be honest. It's really not great for watching movies because it is so heavy. It's going to give you wrinkles for sure. It hurts like on your face whenever you're wearing it for like 10 minutes. And not the other thing that I feel like girls will not, it messes up your makeup.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if it will ever be adopted unless they make it into like actual sunglasses. It's not worth it. I'm like, dude, I'm going to watch this, my laptop that I have in my lap and not mess up my makeup and not get a migraine from the weight. Plus it messes up your hair. Like it's just, it's not actually functional.
Just to kind of play into this like whole era that I feel like Danny and I are flirting with here, which is like smartphones, not so great. Social media, maybe okay, maybe not good. When you like see what they have is called like spatial videos and spatial pictures.
Yeah.
They showed us like a spatial photo, which is basically like them shooting it either natively on the Vision Pro or like with like a 360 spatial camera. And I don't know how to explain it like over a podcast, but it was a spatial photo of someone blowing out birthday candles. And to say that I felt like I was there is an understatement. Like it was so immersive and I could look to my left and look to my right and see everyone at the birthday party in the scene. It was like, it kind of blew my mind when I thought about like all the pictures and the videos that we take of Stella. And it's like, oh my gosh, like I could be 80 years old. Well, yeah, Stella and Stratton. I could be like 80 years old and like I could look back and still see these memories so much vivid, so much more vivid than I see them now.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
I agree. Did you hear that Taylor Swift became a billionaire by only music?
Is she like the first to do that?
Yes.
Huh.
You know, we have to have our like little Taylor Swift conversation on DM plans. Here's another thing. Have you noticed that all of her good friends are doing Skims ads?
Huh.
Brittany Mahomes, Sabrina Carpenter, Lana Del Rey, those are like all, I mean, I don't know if Brittany Mahomes is like one, but Sabrina Carpenter and Lana Del Rey are like good friends of Taylor. Isn't that interesting?
Well, is there still beef there?
Yes.
Kim and Taylor?
Oh, yeah.
If I was Kim, I would totally just go after all of her friends.
Do you feel like it's that calculated?
Yeah, for sure.
You do?
For sure. Because like, look how many people are talking about Skims just by the controversial quotes, like people in the campaigns. It's so genius.
It was odd that they chose Lana Del Rey. Sabrina Carpenter, I'm like, she's super relevant. Lana Del Rey, for Kim to choose Lana Del Rey, that seems like a little calculated to me.
Yeah.
Do you feel
I think that Kim Kardashian, is Kim Kardashian a billionaire? Does anyone know? Is she a billionaire?
Probably.
She probably.
Well, Kylie is.
Yeah, but I don't think Kim is. Anyway, I could see it being very pointed at Taylor becoming a billionaire. Because, you know, these girls are so competitive at this level. Like, most people are like, okay, well, you're a billionaire. What does it matter if your other competitor is a billionaire too? It doesn't work like that. Like, these girls are just competitive at the most elite level. Like, I could see it still being a petty, competitive move that Kim is like, I'm going to go and take all of your friends and put them in Skims ads. $1.7 million Oh, she's a $2 billionaire almost.
That's pretty amazing.
Kim?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
From like,
is Taylor Swift getting a lot of hate for being a billionaire now? Like, do you think that this is going to hurt her relatability?
No. Oh my gosh, we're all so proud.
Are we still in the era of like supporting female billionaires, or are we over that?
I think it depends on who it is. I feel like Kim would get a lot of hate for it, but like Taylor, I feel like we're all like, I mean, she made $1 billion by doing what she loves, which is creating art and writing songs about Kim Kardashian. So like,
yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's going to make her lose relatability for some reason.
What?
It's kind of like she's getting a lot of hate for her private plane now. Like, she's a billionaire. Like, is she going to be able to maintain this whole, like, I'm just like you guys connection, you know, and still sell out stadiums?
Yeah, 100%. Like, we already knew she was a millionaire. Like, she's already super wealthy. She's been super wealthy for and that's why we went back to the conversation about her dressing so homely sometimes.
Yeah, it's probably like, strategic.
It might be strategic. Or maybe she's just like actually has bad fashion sense.
I think it's strategic. I think her publicist is so smart.
Yeah.
Tree Payne. Shout out.
Now we're getting into our favorite segment, things that make you go,
It's been a second. Uh-oh. Right?
Yeah, it is. It has.
We haven't done this in like 2 weeks, yeah?
We've done interviews.
Ah, that's why. 3 weeks.
So topic number one, the government is trying to ban TikTok. No, but I'm like, yay. No, but I'm also like, I don't know what I should think because—
I know, free speech.
There's so much—
confusing.
Free speech. So more specifically, Congress is trying to ban TikTok. They're trying to pass legislation that would force the parent company of TikTok, ByteDance, who is owned by China, to sell the app or it would be banned in the U.S. According to a report by NPR, state representatives say the reasoning for the need for separation of TikTok from ByteDance is because classified and unclassified national security assessments show that the app is a threat to user privacy and that it's been used to target journalists and interfere in elections. Do you believe that?
Yeah, 100%.
Go off, queen.
The reason I believe that it's been hijacked or used for ill will is, do you know how easy it is to start an account on TikTok? There's no verification whatsoever. You literally, I could make up an email address and just say yada, yada, yada. And then, so do you know how many like bot and troll accounts are like open for people to create on TikTok?
So is that what you think the problem is the bot accounts?
I think the anonymity of the internet is a big problem because I think it allows for people to sort of like do things anonymously that they would never do if their identity was tied to it, if that makes sense. So it creates a culture of negativity, hatred, racism, bad things, you know, because people can do it completely anonymously. So I think that that's like an issue that like the platforms themselves should try and solve. But yeah, I mean, it's like, I think it's pretty much proven at this point that like other countries will use these tools like as warfare to manipulate, I don't want to say elections because I don't know, but like probably, but definitely manipulate like our people, right? So it's like there was that huge bot farm in like Saudi Arabia where it's like literally just like a warehouse of people.
Oh, people.
Of people who were working for that government that just made accounts and would, their job was to remove dissent or if there was dissent against like the crown.
I have an idea. Do you think any influencers have ever done that where they create a bot farm and then they just, oh my God, this is so genius. They just go in and like praise this one influencer and get a bunch of views and just like play their content over and over and over again.
I think that that's probably a conspiracy that people outside of the space think. I've never heard of that. And I feel like I would have heard
possible.
Of it.
There was a
service. Oh, it's 100% possible.
There was a service that when I first started on Instagram, all the Instagrammers used and TikTok was not even around. And you could hire this company to go in and comment and like DM and like other people's photos on your account.
Yeah.
And so it would help like increase your engagement. And then other people would see like, oh my gosh, you commented on my picture. And then like they would follow you back. So I'm sure there's stuff like that these days.
Yeah, probably so. But I definitely think that like TikTok, I think even Twitter's probably harder to create bots at this point, because I feel like Elon Musk was like, hey, no more bots. You know, like that was like a big initiative. I don't think he completely solved it. But TikTok is the most susceptible to bots right now.
Yeah.
Like I literally could create 5 accounts in 5 minutes, you know, and just do whatever I wanted with them. So I could say whatever I want.
Is the bots or the algorithm that's the issue? Because I feel like what they're saying though is that I feel like what most people believe is the algorithm, like what they're actually feeding us is like making our brains mush.
Here's what I will say about my experience with TikTok. Cause like it's been a conversation in our household for like 3 weeks. So I've like started to try and get on it. It is the most anxiety inducing, like toxic place I've ever been on the internet. And I'm big on Reddit. Like, I mean, it is so like what the reason I have a hard time with TikTok is even when I created a bot account. Okay. So fresh algorithm. It is so good at predicting patterns. So what I would do on my bot account was honestly, I couldn't get your login. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to like create my own account. And so all I'll do is my patterns are, I'll search Danny Austin. I'll go like check on your stuff.
It's horrible.
And so when I do that, it's now feeding me like all of these different things.
Don't tell me.
No, not about you.
It's like Jordan Mears.
No, but I'm definitely, it's so good that it knows like all the people that would be in your niche. Okay. So do you understand? Like I'm not following these people. I only search your name and it already has built me an algorithm that is yours. Okay. But the problem with TikTok that I found is that the highest engagement is going to come from very controversial drama. Okay. Yeah. So it's a bunch of like, I'll just say this. I don't know if it's true or not, but like can I talk about the Aspen Ovard stuff?
Yeah. I mean, sure.
Okay. So like, I don't even know if this is true, but like Aspen Ovard is like now filling my fake account's feed because she in kind of a past world YouTube was like connected to you. And so what happened with this situation from my understanding is that she just had a baby, her baby's in the NICU, but someone on some site found a divorce filing. The debate is like, is this fake or is this real? Like, why would, you know, this come out? Or maybe she waited till she had the baby so that story would cover up another. But anyway, like I got on there. Okay. And I was like, it doesn't matter whether it's true or not. I feel so hard for this family right now. Yeah. Like even if they genuinely are going to divorce and have a baby in the NICU, the way that this conversation has expanded on TikTok is absolutely insane.
Yeah. And it's, yeah.
Because all these people, like it would be like, just a normal user. Mm-hmm. Like what they do is they'll show the divorce filing and then they'll green screen themselves talking. And they're like, I just found this video here and here's what I'm going to tell you. And they act like they're all breaking news sources and they all are like basically like the Perez Hiltons of TikTok now. And so those videos are going to get high amount of engagement and high amount of likes.
Yeah.
And then what also happens is when you click on the comments, because that's the pattern, I'm like, okay, well like, let me see what the comments say. TikTok does this thing where it's like, it will recommend you at the top, like other searches in alignment with that video. So it's like,
so you're learning all these things that you didn't even know that you wanted to learn or search.
You're 3 minutes into TikTok and you are down a drama spiral that like you should have never ever cared about in the first place. It's like, I'm like, oh, what? Aspen and Parker getting a divorce. Click on the comments and it's like Parker hit Aspen, you know, and that's like the recommended text or something like that. And I'm like, there's no way.
And now there's already a story, a narrative being fed to you that we don't know if it's true or not, but it's, you're 3 minutes in and you already know of this like huge controversial thing that if it's not true, could ruin their lives.
The doom spiral of TikTok is absolutely overwhelming. Like I find myself and like, I'm in the business and in the industry, but I see how, you know, how something could be so blown out of proportion so quickly. Like, do you remember the baseball game that one time? We were at a baseball game, okay? And we were taking a photo and someone was taking a video.
Yes.
And I put my arm around you and you took my hand and you wanted me to put it on the small of your back.
Because you're ruining the outfit shot. I wanted my dress to show. Yes. And you were like, and the way you were putting your arm around me made it seem like this is my sister. And I was like, no, like hold my hip. Like,
so that 3 second clip, and this was on Instagram. So this was like a kind of a nicer internet, was like,
yeah, so much nicer.
Was like, oh my gosh, they're about to get a divorce because did you see how her reaction? And then it would be like a psychologist being like, I'm a body language psychologist and let me tell you about this video here. And this is what this looks like. They are getting a divorce because you can clearly see that her arms are rotated at a 90 degree angle when love actually symbolizes a 180 degree angle. And it's like, people just do that over and over and over again on TikTok. And so if that clip would have gone viral on TikTok, it would have created a narrative that we would have never been able to fight. Like on Instagram, you can fight narratives. You can be like, guys, this is really stupid. Anything that Aspen does from here on out, in my opinion, other than saying nothing, she's going to lose.
Yeah, because it'll always
because the
be there.
Narrative is so big. And now you have a bunch of people who are believing it to be true, whether it is or not, with no public statement from Aspen and saying, oh my gosh, and now they're making it about them. They're like, I followed them since day one. I don't know what to believe about love anymore. Like, and like,
lying
what,
to me.
Yeah. And it's all a fraud and you can't believe anything. And like, this is why I'm disillusioned with love and dating apps. And it's like, so now it's not even about Aspen. It's about this larger issue.
How they're victimized.
So
by.
That's a big rant to say that, like, I feel like the psychology of TikTok is so, you just can't control it. It's an absolute beast of a machine.
So needless to say, you would be happy about the ban.
No, this is what's confusing. Let me rant one more time. Is because what is confusing about this is that, like, I on one hand acknowledge that this is the most toxic platform in existence. But at the same time, I don't know how I would feel about my beliefs in terms of what the government should and should not be responsible for if I were to say I want the government to ban this type of speech.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm very against anyone on Twitter or X now that is like, you know, hate speech should be banned or this should be banned. And there's probably some forms of it that like actually is a threat to someone else that yeah, should be banned, but that's not really what's happening. It's one political side of the aisle that's saying, oh, you shouldn't be able to say this or you shouldn't be able to say that. And so if I take that same psychology, which I'm against on Twitter, and I say, yeah, you know what, go ahead and ban TikTok because I don't want to be a part of it.
Yeah.
It's like not fair.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the solution is. Like I see the macro level problems it's causing like with our society. And I don't think it's the same in other countries. Like I think it's like a fact now that China feeding their children broccoli on TikTok and feeding our children heroin. So it's like, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, don't know.
I feel you. It is very confusing. And one of the things that I think that we feel the most with Instagram, and you know, we've been creating Instagram stories and that's been like our main platform for the past 5 years. And you know, they say like every 5-6 years, you kind of have to reinvent yourself. Like you have to, the internet changes the way that what was working in the past doesn't work anymore. Like that's pretty much like innovation. That's relatable for any company.
Right.
Well, what we've started to see or feel on Instagram, and I think it was like confirmed this morning that Instagram is deprioritizing Instagram stories. So the more Instagram stories that you're pushing, the like more that they're shoving your content down. And that's the reason why is because they don't want people leaving, like Instagram stories a lot of times leads to people leaving the app, whether you're linking to Amazon,
yes,
or you're linking to another YouTube video. They want you staying on the app. And that makes a lot of sense if you think about it. You see a lot of people that are like linking to their TikToks, like which is what we're probably going to end up doing. But like now they're being led to another platform. So they're saying, don't look at Instagram stories. Come look at your feed. Like come look at the reels. Come look at threads. Come look at DMs. And so they're saying that now like you shouldn't post more than like 6 Instagram stories, which there we go. We're basically out of business now because like, that's all we create. So now it's not that we've changed and it's not that like I want to create a different like type of content. It's like we kind of have to because like our platform is kind of dying. Like
no,
where we've put, and this happens every time. And it's like we have to learn and we have to evolve. There will come a time where I am too tired to fight back. Like it's so exhausting because I just feel like, okay, like we're finally getting in the rhythm of Instagram stories. It is second nature. Like we don't even think about it, right? Like we have the way we've like, it's built into our lifestyle. It causes no conflict, no drama. Jordan and I read each other. We know like the moments that we want to film. We don't film after 5 for the most part. Like it's like we film from 9 to 5, we're good, you know? And now it's like, we're learning a whole nother language and we're learning it together. And it's so exhausting. And there will come a point where I'm like, I can't do it anymore. I don't think right now is the time though.
See, that's so funny. It's so funny because it's like, for me, that's what I'm like struggling with is I'm like, man, is this my time? Like, is this my time to go?
Yeah. It's been 12 years for me. I'm like,
oh. And you're still, so I have read the room and I've kind of tried to press you on these conversations. I'm like, hey, like, you know, we probably still realistically, like from a just truly business standpoint, I want people to understand this is like an innovate or die type of moment for most creators. It's like,
That's like kind of dramatic.
But well, yeah. We're dramatic people though. But like, you know, if you want to kind of like strive for excellence, like you over the next 2 to 3 years, if you are not like trying to figure out where TikTok fits into your content creator ecosystem.
Or another platform. It doesn't even have to be TikTok because maybe you have a podcast. Maybe you wrote a book. Maybe you're doing public speaking.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily that. Like it's just having something outside of just like, I think I'm talking specifically about the people that have made a lifestyle and a living off of Instagram stories.
Yes. No, 100%.
There's like quite a few of us.
Let me ask you this. I do have a question and you can keep this in the podcast. So we have a Gen Z podcast producer. Okay. I just want to know from you, do we sound like old farts?
Yeah, a little bit.
Really?
She said yes, if you want to know.
Okay. So,
but wait, we are old farts. Like how old were you 12 years ago? Okay, you were 14 when I started my career. Yeah. You know, like we right. are old farts. Like let's identify as the farts in the room and be like, okay, that's why it makes it harder for us to change, because I promise you all those people, yeah, like in 12 years from now, you're going to be feeling the same way that we're feeling about alpha. What's the next generation?
I think alpha.
The alpha
I think
generation.
They called them alpha.
You know, it's just part of like life.
So do we sound cynical and jaded? It's okay. Be honest.
You just sound like old people that will take it 0 to 100. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I,
yes.
Like, all of my generation are like,
we'll figure it out. So y'all. Okay. I remember in my early 20s, truly saying the exact statements of like, it's not that deep. Like we'll figure it out.
I feel that sometimes.
And so I would say that's the more internal war with me is like, am I becoming a cynical, jaded old fart?
We're becoming old farts.
No,
we're
but
taking
like,
it too seriously.
But we can fight it. That's what I'm saying is like, I'm trying to figure out, do I need to fight my own cynicism or am I like fighting the good fight and I'm right about something? Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
It's kind of like AOL. It's like, like when AOL was like, rip. Oh, Google's not going to come after us. Like we're AOL or we're Yahoo. And it's like, they refused to innovate. And they were just like, this is so stupid. What is a search engine? Or whatever it was, the context of the time. And then it's like, I just feel like truly from a business stance, if you don't innovate, you do die over time.
Yeah.
And so I think that we're just like, is this a moral issue or is this just us being stuck in our ways?
Here's the, oh, go ahead. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Like when Facebook and like AIM was a thing,
yeah,
my parents were like, you cannot touch that, you'll get kidnapped, like all
the yes.
horrible things. I feel like that's borderline how people feel kind of about TikTok now.
Okay, so you're saying that we're not just cynical, jaded old farts, but we're also the good side of how we're acting is we are trying to be good parents.
No, 1,000%.
Yeah. I think for me, like bottom line is I don't have a problem like switching platforms. I don't want to do anything if I'm not having fun with it. That's why I don't do YouTube anymore. Like I hated, by the end of it, I hated being on YouTube so much. That's why I moved to Dallas. I was like, I'm done. Like, I don't care about this career. Like I was going to go apply to work at Reward Style and just like move on and not do like create content anymore.
Yeah.
But then I was introduced to Instagram and I was like, oh my gosh, I love this so much. And I've loved it ever since. And so I just need to figure out what I love to do on TikTok. And like, once I figure out what I love, like it won't matter to me. I'm like, I'm just going to create what we love to. I just haven't figured that out yet. And so I'm experimenting. I'm trying new things. We tried our vlog this week where we went to our, if y'all haven't seen on our TikTok, we did a vlog where we went to our prepper stash at our storage unit. Yeah. And I was like, I'm gonna try vlogging it. And that was fun. I thought that was fun. It didn't do like really well or anything, yeah. but it was like a fun new piece. I filmed it a little bit differently than I would film Instagram stories. And so once I figure out my rhythm, I just need to be open to it, open-minded. And so
I know.
That's what I'm being. Same. I'm being open-minded.
Same.
And I need to be willing to try new things and kind of put my, you know, test it out and don't be an old fart that's like stuck in her ways.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that there's a way, as long as we can find a rhythm that is healthy, and healthy looks so different than when Instagram stories came out. When Instagram stories came out, we were like, heck yeah, like let's figure this thing out, because it was just you and I.
Yeah.
I think that it's a really good point she made that, like, because we have kids, the health of our family is so much harder to navigate. There's so many more nuances to it that, like, it's like, you're right. We found a way to do our jobs on Instagram where we could still be good parents, yep. and we could still be married and maintain our private marriage and the health of that, as well as like our public kind of
we
like
what we
put
out our rhythm.
We figured
like
out
you
rhythm.
See, like, we don't really like show anything at night, like cooking or anything, because that's like time that we're with our kids. Like we're doing like, but you'll see us a lot in the morning with our kids because we're like 9 to 5, we're working. Yeah. So like we figured all those things out. Now with TikTok, we don't have it figured out. And when you have kids, there's more on the line. So it's right. just more taxing. It's more emotionally draining. And but don't worry.
And that's
don't
why we're worry. Also like trying to figure out the mindset of these TikTokers. Like you ranted about this a lot. You're like, like you're doing these vlog things. Like, how are you doing it publicly like this and maintaining a healthy private life? And I'm not saying that they're not. Yeah. I'm saying that they just have a totally different kind of like workflow and rhythm of their family than we do.
I would love to get to know some like more TikTokers, because that really helped me in the like Instagram community, was having other mommy blogger Instagram friends that like I relate to them so much. We're all creating.
Maybe we should have them on and ask them these questions. Like, hey, how are you?
Right? We should have asked like Matt and Abby about this more.
I know, but we didn't care about TikTok.
I know. 3 weeks ago. That was 3 weeks ago. I know.
We can wrap up this article, but let me just add one layer of potential conspiracy here. Okay. Yeah. Is that I believe this. Okay. I believe that Mark Zuckerberg is one of the most powerful people in the United States right now. He's one of the richest. He has strong government ties. Like, we saw how complicit he was in working with government agencies and like censoring speech over COVID. It would not surprise me whatsoever that he knows that he is being beat right now. Like, TikTok is beating Instagram and Meta as a whole. Like, there's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Last time he was beat, or being beat, it was to Instagram, and he bought it for $1 billion. And then he turned it into what, a $50 billion company, whatever it is. And then the other time he was being beat was messaging on WhatsApp, and he bought it, right? TikTok cannot be bought. It is like owned by China. And so
somebody has to buy it, right?
Maybe. And he's also not going to buy Twitter. So it's like, you look at the patterns of Mark Zuckerberg just as a businessman. And what he does is he's constantly saying, okay, this is working. If I cannot buy you, I'm going to copy you. So it's like, he couldn't buy Twitter. So what happened?
Threats,
right?
And so, just so you know, I was like, there was a reel that I was listening to this morning, and it was saying the fastest way to grow right now is through Threads.
Exactly.
Like, Meta is prioritizing.
He shifts
Threads.
His whole algorithm around it. And we saw this again when everyone was loving stories, and it was like, can TikTok just be TikTok and Instagram just be Instagram? And he was like, no. He was like, TikTok is getting so much more use time, and so now I'm going to prioritize Reels. This happened like a year ago. Then we had to start creating Reels. Now he's like seeing, okay, people are over Instagram stories because even that is too long form. Yeah. Which is crazy. 15 to 30 second clips or a minute clips are too long form because of the way that TikTok has now wired our brain. And so he's not going to beat TikTok. Like, we're never going to say Reels is the same thing as TikTok. He's losing that fight. And I think all the content creators know it.
Yeah.
So if I were him and I was backed into this corner, what would I do? I would create a ton of propaganda, I would hire the best lobbying firms in the country, and I would create a narrative that this is a Chinese app that is being used to spy on our kids. I would highlight all of the negativity about it, and I would do my absolute best to get it banned. So like, I have a hard time believing that that is also not a part of this story.
Yeah, like it's like maybe he's like pulling on that thread.
Oh,
like
for
somebody
sure.
Somebody already kind of started that narrative, and he's like, okay, let me pour some more money into it and like make this a huge thing.
That was heavy.
That was heavy.
What else can we rant about?
Oh, if you want to come follow us on TikTok, it's at thedannyaustin.com or @thedannyaustin. Please come follow us.
But like, give us like 3 weeks to figure it out. Like, don't hate on our, it's like, we're early.
We're
like
late.
Figuring it out.
But we're late.
Well, we're late, but like, we're early in our content.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Okay. Enough of a tech talk. I have something that will definitely make you go, I actually found this article myself.
Okay.
I found a BuzzFeed article that is making me question everything in life. This article is based on a Reddit thread. Before I actually go into this, can you explain to people why you use why you use Reddit? Because I think a lot of people know Reddit to be a very dangerous, disgusting place, yeah. which it is. But I was listening to The Toast, and Claudia Ashray, like, she, like, hates Reddit. And, like, I have more often now been using Reddit for actually really, like, yeah. good things, like, for advice and stuff. So it's, like, I don't know. I can't share the ones I was, like, reading because it's something personal. Yeah, yeah. But you know, like, so what do you use Reddit for that is healthy?
So I think that Reddit is very similar to like Twitter for me, where it's like, if it's used properly, it's generally, it's a bad place, but you can use it and like almost refine your search in ways where it's a good place. So yeah. like, I think the power of Reddit in particular is like all of the communities. So like the subreddits.
Yeah.
So there's so many niches out there.
I'm on a Taylor Swift subreddit.
Yeah. So that one's and,
like,
probably,
they're not mean. They are just like, they just give you updates.
Well, it's
like,
so, it so depends on the moderators. That's the thing, is it's yeah. a very community run, community like police type of, entity. And so like, I think that the toxic ones, it's like they know that they're there to be toxic.
Yes,
and the moderators are like, hey, we're toxic too. So this is what this is for. It's like, don't come if this is not what you want, because like we're toxic.
Like if you want to be nice, like this is not the space right. for that.
But Reddit is like one of the most like informational, educational places that I've ever found. Yeah. You know, it's like there's, I'll just give a couple examples. Like right now, one of the ones I'm on is called, it's so stupid. It's like r/lean gains. Uh-huh. Which is basically like building lean muscle while losing body fat. And it's like just every day someone has a question that I'm thinking about. Like, yeah. and I'm, you know, and so I make it a habit to read that like almost every day. And I've learned so much from doing it. Another big one that I stopped following it. But I just wanted to like learn about it is called r/nosurf. Uh-huh. And it's basically people who are hyper addicted to their phones. Like, and I'm talking like, not like we've been talking, like very addicted. Yeah. Like I like cannot study. I cannot do anything. Like I cannot stop reading yeah. Reddit or Twitter or whatever. And it's been interesting to kind of just like hear their stories and their testimonies, and like the community will share tips with one another of like, oh man, I know the stage that you're in, you yeah. know, with the addiction, like here's some of the things that like I've done, or testimonies of I haven't scrolled or searched, or surfed in, you know, 15 days, here's how I'm feeling. And so it's like a really powerful community for a specific type of addiction.
When I started Stratton on formula, what I liked about it as a mom is I could type in exactly how old my child was. I'd be like, my child is 3 months old, is colicky, is a male, is da 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 da. And you'll find a Reddit thread from someone that has the exact like age of baby,
exactly.
doing the exact same formula. If the baby is constipated, here's what we did. We went to the doctor. This is, so it's like, it sometimes it can be very helpful.
Oh my gosh,
to find the specific like demographics that you relate to so much.
For product reviews, I only trust Reddit now. Like, because I believe that most of like the,
cause there's no
Trustpilot or like, there's a couple for like software products, like any software product, I go to Reddit and I'm like, best software product for this. And there's a general consensus that happens in like all these communities of like, oh, this one's the best for this reason. And it's super honest. Right.
And so how does Reddit make money? Cause they're not,
I think they just IPO'd.
Yeah. I want to move on to this article, but that's why I think people trust Reddit so much, is because you don't gain anything from posting. Like you're not like, no. It's all anonymous, right?
Yeah, I actually didn't know that for a while. So I made my thing just like Jordan, but it's okay. I don't, yeah, you can go look at my history. I don't do anything bad.
Because all I am is in this Taylor
Swift. No, it defaults to like an anonymous name.
Yeah.
Right.
So you don't really get any gain. So it's like, you might as well just be honest, because you're there for the honesty.
I know. And here's the problem is like, there's been some things that I have had to ask about that I needed anonymity to be able to be completely honest about like something I was trying to figure out or a problem I was going through or whatever. And so it's like,
you're like, my wife is an Instagram influencer. And
No,
we live in Dallas, Texas.
And so like, again, this is why my arguments are so complicated, because like I was just a second ago saying like, I believe that social media platforms should reduce anonymity on the internet, but like anonymity on Reddit has actually like really benefited so many people.
But you don't get any gains from posting anything. Like on Instagram, you get likes, you get,
yeah,
like,
I think that's why it's honest though.
Like when people are addicted to Reddit or Twitter, like what are they addicted to?
I think it's like
the dopamine rush of what, learning?
Kind of. Yeah. I think it's like, if you're
like, it's a good thing.
If you're a, well, that's why I see my like iPad Twitter thing is a good thing. If you're addicted to like perfection or like knowing more or knowledge or being the best at something. And maybe sometimes for like, and I'm not saying this is what I am. I'm saying that like for a specific type of person, usually I would say male, they're addicted to like being in the know, like on like world events, or it's the same with like you and whatever you're Googling on like pop culture, you know, it's
I
like,
I do love a Wikipedia.
It's like being addicted to kind of the know. And so there's like an information addiction that you get. It's kind of the same types of people that are like addicted to reading Fox News or CNN or all these other things. You feel like you're progressing towards something.
Yeah.
But maybe, and maybe you are, but probably you're not, you know, it's just information overload, but that's kind of the dopamine rush that I think people get from Reddit and from Twitter is like, it's kind of this FOMO effect. Like if I don't like follow through on my routine of reading my Reddit subreddits that I define as valuable or my Twitters, I'm like, I'm missing out on something.
I see.
Missed out on a nugget of life that I'm going to be taught something. Right.
Oh, okay.
And it has provided so much value too.
Yeah. Look at you, you know, all the conspiracy theories, very knowledgeable about very random things,
but even like parenting stuff. Like I've learned so many like tricks and stuff there too. Anyway, we're not, this is even about Reddit.
No, this is.
Get to the BuzzFeed article. Okay.
So the article is based on a Reddit thread where people are sharing industry secrets they think the public deserves to know. There are so many that made my jaw drop, but we'd be here all day if I read them all. So I'm going to share the most absurd, craziest, and mind-blowing ones with you. Now, let me preface with, these are things that people wrote. So we're going to say these are all alleged dirty little secrets. This one like really grossed me out because I'm always a little grossed out by hotel rooms because I'm like,
yeah,
there's no way that every single square inch of this is being turned over and like cleaned.
Oh, the comforters, like hardly ever.
Yeah. Do you think?
No, my relative, I won't say who, was a manager at a very prominent hotel. Like,
and they don't clean the comforters?
No.
Oh,
he was like maybe once every, I think it was either once every 2 weeks or once every month. Sheets are turned over, comforters no.
Apparently people are using hotel coffee or tea kettles to clean their underwear. And this has become a huge issue. First of all, that's kind of genius. I never thought about that because like, come on. Like there's so many times I'm like, oh, I'm bringing 18 pairs of underwear because you know, What could happen? And I never thought you could clean them in the hotel room.
Can you like explain this like I'm five? How would you use a coffee maker to clean underwear?
Okay, so I'm not totally sure here, but I'm assuming like you use it because you put a little water in there. You could and even soap. Heat it up and put some soap and slosh it around.
Ooh, that's genius.
I'm gonna vom.
It's so genius.
It's so disgusting. I don't even drink coffee from the Keurigs in there. I don't know why. Ever since I got that staph infection on my face because my Keurig had mold in it. Did we talk about this already?
Yeah, but yeah, I'm actually like pretty nauseous just thinking about the mental.
Yeah, the tea kettles. So don't drink from the tea kettles or the coffee kettles in your hotel rooms, people. Number two, leaving online shopping items in your cart while being logged in will likely put you into an automated discount stream.
What does that mean? Like it'll just like think that you're
So now I get what they're saying. Okay. So leaving online shopping items in your cart while being logged in. So if you are logged in, let's just say, on Walmart and you are like about to purchase some sidewalk chalk and some arts and crafts for your kids and you don't actually buy it. Walmart will put you on an automated email list.
Yes.
I am put on so many automated email lists. It drives me nuts. I don't even know some of these companies that I'm subscribed to.
Can I tell you the biggest hack that I will ever probably share on this podcast?
Please do. I'm on the edge of my seat.
Okay. It's a software called Clean Email. And basically what it will do is it, you log your email into this software.
Why have you never given this to me? Do you see my email?
Yeah, but honestly, you're so difficult to like give processes to that sometimes I'm just like, I'm just going to keep this to myself. Because trying to get this over the hump would be so hard.
My tongue.
So anyway, it's called Clean Email, okay? And what it does is you can create rules for your inbox and it will auto send all these things into spam. Mm-hmm. So you never actually see any of the spam emails. And then what you can do is it has this feature called Screener. And if like anyone new is emailing you, you can, it'll like put it into almost like a purgatory. Mm-hmm. And then you can say accept or deny, accept or
you
have your assistant do
it. Really though?
Yeah, I will.
My email is so annoying. I never check my email because there's so many from Crate and Barrel and like all these stores. And like, what about these spas? How do spas get my email? I've never gotten a massage at these places.
Oh yeah. You're on lists.
I'm on so many
lists.
You're
on so many lists.
So please help me.
Yeah.
Enterprise Rent-A-Car buys their cars straight from the manufacturers at a price lower than dealerships get and then sells them a year later for higher than they originally paid for it.
True. Someone on our team did this. I was shocked.
Wait, tell me. I don't understand what I just read. What do you mean?
So basically what they'll do is they'll buy the car straight from the manufacturer.
Okay.
And then let the like let people drive it for a year by renting it. And then they will sometimes sell their cars back to consumers. So you can get a really good deal on a car if you buy it from a rental car company.
Because they're buying it from the manufacturer.
Yes.
Not like, they're not buying it from Toyota dealership. They're buying it from
right.
the manufacturer.
So it's already like missing all of those markups. And so then they sell it back and they might make a little bit of a profit, but usually it's already been worn. So you're getting kind of a used car direct from the manufacturer. So it's kind of the best way to buy a
and
car.
It's typically like they're still nice. They're not like yeah. too used.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, just huh. like you would buy a used car. So speaking of dirty secrets, do we have any dirty secrets about our industry?
Of course.
Such as?
There's so many.
I don't feel like there are.
Okay, so when you're going to an influencer event, really everyone's getting along. There's so much beef with like, and it's sometimes exhausting walking into a room because I tend to be a floater. And so I tend to be like kind of friends with everyone, but then I have to be like, okay, wait, she doesn't like her and she doesn't like her. So I just got in a photo with her. I hope she's not mad at me that I got in a photo with her. Like, let me go talk to her for a second, make sure she feels taken care of.
Yeah.
Like it's a little exhausting. And I think that there's a definitely like an undertone of let's go talk to the biggest girl in the room. Like everybody knows. It's like, okay, that's like if the Alex Earl of Instagram is in the room, that's where everybody's flocking. And everybody's, I remember, I have to go back. But like, I remember I had been friends with these girls on Instagram for years. And then there was like this new like hot commodity. I'll tell you who it was at the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so, like, she just is blowing up on Instagram, okay? And these girls that I thought were, like, really good friends of mine, like, completely forgot about my birthday and planned this girl this, like, huge birthday, like, dinner. And I was like, dude, we've been friends for, like, 4 years, and I didn't even, like, get a text from y'all, but y'all are planning this girl, like, this, I mean, they've literally been friends for a month, and they throw her, like, this big birthday dinner at one of the nicest restaurants in Dallas. I'm like, this is so obvious that you're just like doing this because this girl's blowing up on Instagram. Like you yeah. don't even really know her, you know? So stuff like that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Very uninterested.
No, I'm very interested.
Before I move on to things that make you go,
grr.
This episode is brought to you by Skylight Frame. For those of you who haven't heard of Skylight Frame, then listen up because this product is truly the most perfect gift for anyone in your life. The Skylight Frame is a touchscreen photo frame that your whole family can upload photos and they appear in seconds. You get to share your favorite moments with the people that matter most to you. The perfect gift for moms and grandmas. I gifted this to my Goey a few years back and she talks about it all the time. She loves that we can add photos to it and that the new photos pop up every day. I obviously take a million cute photos and every day of Stella and Stratton, and now Goey can feel like she is part of those moments too. The Skylight Frame has a gorgeous touchscreen and comes in two sizes, the original 10-inch or newer 15-inch gallery frame. It looks like a real photo frame, which is my favorite part. As Mother's Day approaches, I wanted to make sure y'all have heard about this product. As a special limited time offer for our listeners, get 15% off of your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/Danny. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/Danny. Mother's Day is coming right up, so order today to get 15% off your purchase at skylightframe.com/Danny. For those of you who follow me on Instagram, you know that I shared about Armour Colostrum on my stories last week. I was very skeptical about this product, but now after using it for a couple months, I am totally sold. I love when a brand is supported by science, and with colostrum, there's over 5,000 studies showing the power of colostrum's benefits. Benefits include improvement in skin's elasticity, defense against bloating and heartburn, higher energy, stronger focus, and so much more. Over 12 weeks, participants noticed better gut health, improved digestion, and healthier skin. 86% increased less bloating, 76% reported less frequent heartburn and reflux, 78% noticed an improvement in their IBS symptoms, and 60% reported diminished wrinkles and improvement in their skin concerns. You just pour the powder directly into your mouth or add Armour colostrum to any cold beverage. Just so you know, the watermelon, the vine watermelon is my favorite now. I used to like the blood orange one, but the watermelon is so good. It's so easy. Plus, they have flavored options, which makes drinking water easier in my option. Give it a try. I got a code for y'all, 15% off your first order using code Danny. Go to tryarmour.com/Danny to activate the 15% off. Also, just side note, if you put 2 or 3 scoops into your Stanley, like the whole Stanley, it's like enough to flavor the entire water. It doesn't taste watery at all. So it's like perfect. It's very Stanley friendly.
Hack.
Love it. Moving on to things that make me go grrr. This one's kind of funny. It's kind of goofy.
Okay.
But have you noticed, like, when husbands act like they don't like certain things in the name of masculinity, when all of us wives, we just see right through it. Like, we know that you love it, and so why not just embrace it? I think that they're trying to hold on to this, like, sense of masculinity, but, like, it's not hard to see.
Yeah.
Can I give you an example?
Give me some examples.
I mean, the biggest example I can think of, like, right off the bat, which I think we all relate to, is, like, number one, I don't want to watch that girly show. Like, I'm not going to watch it. Love is Blind.
Yeah, but then when we're in, we're in.
We're in it. We're The Bachelor.
The Bachelor, that used to be good. I don't watch it anymore, but.
It's so obvious. Sorry.
I do watch it.
And, like, you know what I think a big one is going to be?
What?
ACOTAR.
You think so?
My favorite, I remember my TikTok feed like for a while when like I was getting on TikTok the most when I'm like searching things.
Yeah.
And I was like so into ACOTAR. I wanted to see all of, because since it's fantasy, a lot of people will put like AI to a lot of the characters so you can have a visual whenever you're reading. And when I was going through that rabbit hole of like ACOTAR TikTok, my favorite ones, I think I talked about this, were like of the husbands reacting to ACOTAR. It is so cute and so interesting because, like, every time they're on the first chapter and they're like, oh, I don't want to be reading this. And then by the seventh chapter, they're like, no, is she going to be okay? Like, they're so invested. So, yeah, any girly show.
I think that for me, it's just, I'm definitely going to be resistant to, like, a Love is Blind. But when it's something for us to talk about, it's like, there's this like effect that happens with husbands when you're like invested in some type of like, it could be something stupid, like gossip or drama with your friends. I'm like, and she said what? And I'm like, okay, I'm so invested with you.
I'm glad that you brought that up because the second one is girl talk or work drama talk.
Yeah.
Every guy wants to act like they don't care. But the moment you start talking about girls or anything that happened in the friend group, you are so invested in that drama, but it's the same thing. Like I would be too.
You know, what's so funny about it too, is like, I feel like most husbands, their wives can do no wrong.
So
it's like probably pretty toxic because you might be like talking to me. Like, yeah. And she said this to me and I'm like, can you believe that? Not like, well, Danny, what was your responsibility in the situation? Yeah. I'm like, that is so wrong. You are so right. Always. You can never do any wrong.
That's why we tell you, cause you're our ride or die.
Yeah. We're the ride or dies.
That actually reminds me of that really funny reel when you start gossiping with your dad and it's like, da, 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 and the dad's like, she's also ugly. I feel like that was so my dad growing up. Like my dad would bring up like, cause my dad loved to hear about my friendship drama.
Oh, he does. He
loved that stuff. And so I'd always tell him and like, he would just make the most off the cuff, like rude comment about her. And like, yeah. Like her feet are really big. And I'm like, yeah, it's so funny.
It's funny. I wonder how many couples do this, but like when I come back from like hanging out with friends or you come back from hanging out with friends, or even if we both leave like a party, like the psychoanalyzing that happens of like, oh, did you hear about this conversation or did you hear this going on? Like, I feel like most couples have to do that, right?
Like, yes.
It's not just us.
I've noticed more in our friend group, like, okay, wives being concerned if their husbands are getting along with the other husband. Like, it's like, okay, so
we're so easy. I feel like all the guys all the time talk about this. We're like, hey, we're like all good to be here. You know,
that is so not true. You've had them. That's not how it always was. Especially when you meet like a new, when I introduce you to a new like couple or something, and I've been hanging out with the wife, and then me and the wife are hanging out, and we're like we're side eyeing the whole time, like, oh my gosh, like, are they getting along? Like, we're always so concerned about the guys.
It was like that even post kids,
like a year ago.
I feel like when we lived in Austin, you are allowed to have a lot more of opinions about who you want to hang out with pre kids. So like, if you had this really good girlfriend, it was like the expectation was that I liked her boyfriend or her husband, I would probably be more opinionated about it and be like, I don't really want to hang out with them. I don't really like them.
I have those people that you do not want to hang out with.
But post kids, I feel like it's like, there's just this expectation that it's like, I'm just here. Okay, my wife's happy and I'm good with all of you guys.
There is a difference between getting along with someone and like vibing with someone. And I want you to vibe with them and like be able to hang out with them without me being there. And honestly, it influences what girls I hang out with.
You know what I'm big on at this stage of my life? And I've said this word a lot. Curation of guy groups. Like curating the guy group, because like all of our guy friends, they have such different like personalities and characteristics. Like I put together this ski trip and I thought it was pretty well curated, and it was 13 people. That's hard to curate that many people. So it's like, I know what I bring to the table. Like
you just invited every person you know.
No. It was very curated, and it gets harder when you're in small groups. Cause I'm like, this person is going to like get along with this person pretty well. But like, you know, we need kind of like a wild card, you know? Yeah. So I've got a couple wild cards of the friend group that are like, I rotate them and I'm like, okay, this guy's a little bit more quiet. We need the wild card here. And then I just am kind of the planner. So I just, what I do in friend groups is I show up and I just am like fly on the wall.
Yeah.
I'm like, y'all had fun. I had fun. I'm good.
You're good.
You know?
Example number three, skincare and self-care routines.
No one's hiding that. We all love it. All the guys love it. Charlotte Tilbury, call me bougie, but I'm a bougie.
He loves that $100 magic cream. Though the biggest one that he steals from me is the Mariana Hewitt, the cloud cream.
She always says, this is mama's stuff. Summer and Fridays. I say, this is my stuff.
There's products I literally hide from you.
Yeah.
Like, or I don't tell him. Like,
what is the Charlotte, the white stuff, the Charlotte?
The Tilbury magic cream.
Man, that is a dope product, let me tell you.
That, and you like the cloud cream from Summer Fridays, the new blue one.
I will tell you though that my guy friends come up to me a lot. There's been three guys that have asked me about my skincare routine. I'm telling you. And I tell them, I'm like, okay, well, here's what I steal from Danny.
He's like, Charlotte's I'm like, magic cream.
Drunk Elephant, good brand. Summer Fridays, great brand. Elemis, anything not scented, the scented stuff breaks me out.
That's why we do Kiehl's, because he can't do the fragrance.
So like, I know my brands. Does that demasculate or emasculate me?
No,
I don't think so either. I feel for me, it's an investment in the future of my elasticity for you when I'm 40.
No, I think everyone should take care of their skin.
Yeah.
There are certain things that I think are odd if a man invests in them.
Okay.
Like, but what? I don't know if I want to say, cause I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings.
Well,
because there's probably guys that do these things.
Let's just say it. Maybe cut it.
Okay. We can cut it. I just think it's sometimes.
Well, like haircuts?
No. A man should get a haircut. I don't even care if you dye your hair. Like, that's
weird. I think pedicures are weird.
No. Really? Please. Men need to get pedicures. If you are listening to this and you are a man, or you are a wife married to a man, your man needs to get pedicures.
There
is nothing more disgusting than nasty toes. Like, get a pedicure.
That's one thing that feels pretty effeminate to me, is getting pedicures. But most, it might be the environment. Like, it's like going to a nail salon, Rose Couture.
I'm telling you, covered in flowers. No one in that room is thinking about that. We are all thinking about the guy that's not getting the pedicure with nasty, grimy, moldy toes, under his toenails. That is more disgusting than the man sitting in there taking care of his toenails.
Okay. Like, well, I'm so curious what these things are. What'd you say?
I think it's just odd when men get spray tans. I know I force you to do some sometimes, but like, I just think it's odd. I don't know why. My dad gets them, not like like regularly. Like he does it whenever I.
He's gonna come after you for this podcast.
I know. I don't,
keep it in. Keep it in. Don't take it out.
I just sometimes think it's odd.
It's not me. I don't. I got a spray tan one time
when I made
because
you.
Landon. You See, made Landon and I.
I made y'all get it because to me,
I do
it's
not
like
get spray
something
tans.
You would do if you lost your bet. But like if you're voluntarily getting a spray tan as a man, I don't know why. It's just weird to me. But it's not like I don't want to be mean because I think there's a lot of men that are, and you know what?
Well, it's very big in the bodybuilding community.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I have a problem because I think that.
Yeah. But, that's like, that sounds like a personal preference to you. There's probably a lot of female listeners who agree. And there's probably some that are like, whatever.
And maybe some, honestly, some listeners are probably like, no, like I do not want my,
but I will tell you this. I'm going to tell you this. The reason I'm not scared about you keeping this in the podcast is because the men who get spray tans will die.
Yeah.
Live and die by spray tans being a thing that they should do.
If you are a man.
They're so secure. They're not hiding their spray tans. They're like, I get spray tans and I'm all about it.
Let me tell you, if you are a man and you are insecure about something that you do for your hygiene or for cosmetically, own it. Because the most cringy thing is when you hide it. Yeah. Like if you're secretly going and getting pedicures and then acting all ashamed, like that gives me the ick. Like, dude, be like, no, pedicures are awesome. They give you a massage. They cut my toenails. I don't scratch my wife whenever I'm laying in bed next to her. I can wear sandals and not be insecure. Like, if you're getting a spray tan, be like, I'm white as can be. I look good in my swimsuits. Like, own whatever
it is. Such a big part of it. It's just owning it.
It's all your attitude.
And then that's how men influence one another.
Yeah, it's like, dude, I got a spray tan. I look fire in my swimsuit.
Like. This is like so how a guy would react. They'd be like, huh, no crap. How much was it?
Yeah, and they're like,
it's like what shade you get?
Yeah, it's like they told me they airbrushed my abs.
And then,
on
and
there.
Then what the guy in the friend group is gonna do is gonna be like, babe, can you believe this guy got a spray tan? And the wife's gonna be like, oh, that's fine. And he'd be like, really?
Really?
Well, do you have a girl?
Really? I was just kind of putting it out there.
Are there any other things that you find effeminate, or that give you the ick? Like, does it bother you that like I don't really have like I don't think I can grow a beard.
No, I like, have never been like a beard.
I can grow like a very prominent like stash maybe, but it's going to be pretty prickly. But I just don't have a lot of body hair. Like my chest, I don't have.
It's so funny. I feel like I've never been like a beard or body hair girl. Some guys like love it and they are like, oh, I need a guy with a beard. To me, I was like, ugh, it kind of just looks like it get messy up in there.
Yeah.
And like food and like scratchy. I'm like, how do you make out with that?
Yeah.
And do other things.
So it doesn't, so it doesn't bother you.
No.
Like you didn't wish I have like a huge hairy chest.
I actually think I prefer that you don't have a lot of body hair.
So let me ask you this. If I did have a lot of body hair and I waxed my chest to get it off, would that be ick for you?
Okay. Here's
the
thing.
It's a philosophical question.
I feel like it would give me the ick.
It's pretty like I mean it's kind of like you got to own it.
And like I think this is what it is, and I am not saying that it is wrong for men to be high maintenance because I know some, but I think that I'm so high maintenance that I don't want to be married to someone that's high maintenance. Like I want a man to be sturdy and like not a lot of maintenance and like always just there like and not be like so concerned about his looks all the time.
Okay.
So I like when men are probably, just for me personally, I like a low maintenance man.
Okay.
And you're pretty low maintenance in my opinion.
Yeah. Here's my question. I feel like this is a question that anyone would want to know. Okay. What are your thoughts on manscaping? Is it feminine?
Wait, what is manscaping? Like, do you make like a shape or something?
No, it's just general.
Because I think about like landscaping and it's like, is there like a triangle?
It's more. So, okay, fine. There's tiers of manscaping.
Okay.
There's the haircut.
So like bald, like naked mole rat?
No. That's level two.
Trimming.
So trim, haircut, and then there's naked mole rat.
Okay.
And then there's naked mole rat in the form of waxing. So what?
That can be not comfortable on the balls for sure.
Well, you're sure. But what I'm saying is like, which level gives you the ick? Level one, level two, level three. Stop me when. Level one.
Wait, I'm just curious because I actually don't know this. Are there different shapes and things that people are doing? Like art? like manscaping art.
Do you want there to be a different shapes?
I'm dying. I've never thought about it before, but no, I think that would be weird.
I mean, I don't think like there's like,
because you know, sometimes like
you got the fade or you got the, the afro.
It's like a perm.
Yeah, I don't think that there's different hairstyles for
because you know, I don't know if you know this, but that's like a thing for girls, I think. You can do like shapes and stuff.
Oh, interesting. So for
like, I'm sure that some guys do that.
For girls, I'm like level three for me. Like no ick. Level three, good.
What's level three thing?
Like naked mole rat via by form of waxing. I'm like, I'm good with it. If you want to go naked roll mat, but
well, I'll just tell you, I've only done waxing one time in my life, and I'll never do it again. So
okay,
sorry.
Well, I can live in level two, but level one, where you're like experimenting with haircuts, I'm like, you know, we should. That's just not my thing.
Anyway, what?
So I'm curious, like what level gives you the ick?
For guys, okay. Okay, I would say a 2 to 3.
That's ick for you?
No, that's where we need to live.
So to be clear, you want me to go wax?
Oh, no.
Okay,
no
so waxing. Level one is haircut. No. Level two is naked mole rat.
Well, no, because you skipped level zero. Babe, then we've been, what about just like let it all go?
Yeah, true.
So that's what I was, that's where I don't want to live.
Okay.
And I don't want to live in that zero zone.
Okay.
So that's why, so let's say level one is let it fly, literally.
Let's say level zero.
Two is a haircut, three is a shave, four is a wax.
Okay, fine. We'll redo the scale.
I have to stick between the two and the three levels.
So haircut and naked mole rat.
Yeah.
Okay. You don't mind a naked mole rat.
Here's the thing when it comes to hair for me. I don't, this is so gross, but like even beard, like,
yeah.
Like I don't want to be around hair that has things in it. Like that's so gross to me.
Yeah.
I don't know how like girls when they're making out, like I've thought about this often with like Travis Kelce's beard is getting like really bushy and like, it kind of gives me the ick. Like I'm like, he could have eaten crackers like 2 days ago and it's still in there.
Uh-huh.
That's too much. Yeah. I don't like that. Like I need it.
It's personal preference, but I understand.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Like Taylor, and you go for it, girlfriend. But like, I just am, and I don't mind like a little scruff.
Yeah.
Like that's okay. But the beards really freak me out. I'm like, what are you hiding in there?
See, I think most guys are like level three or four.
No, you're not right. Because I talked to like two or three of my girlfriends about this on my 30th birthday party in Cabo. We were on the pool floating and you're wrong. Because I asked them.
So that means their husbands prefer level one or two?
Yeah. A lot of guys.
I am so shook by this. I like literally need data on this.
No,
I'm like,
a lot of guys,
I am so convinced you are so wrong.
It's like more womanly. It's like more woman. You're like a woman. That's why.
I like need to text friends right now.
No,
I'm like, I'm so, I am so convinced that you're wrong that like, I don't think I've ever.
No, I'll tell you.
No way.
I'll tell you who.
Well, I can. Huh? Interesting. Well, there's always been something quirky about them. Let's be real. I don't think we can say, hey, that's the standard. That's the mean. That's the average. I think the average.
I don't think it's that odd.
Well, let's just not experiment.
Plus, it's just natural, babe.
You're right. I love women in all of their shapes, sizes, and forms. And I believe that femininity is the most beautiful thing in the entire world.
Can I say something I've always wanted to know? And you've never told me anything about this before. Does it gross you out when I don't shave my legs?
No, it grosses you out more than it grosses me out.
So it doesn't gross you out?
No, because I've never been able, they've never been so outgrown that I'm like, oh. I mean, sometimes it's a strange sensation when I like rub not down, but up and I can feel like, and I'm like, oh, okay. But no, not really. You're very well groomed. I will say, like, you've always been very well kept and well groomed. Like, I've never really had to be like, hey, like, you should shave your armpits or something like that. Like, you're just, I think that's you as a person, though.
Yeah, I mean, I try, but I will say there are times that the legs, the calves don't get
I can tell
love.
That you're very insecure about it when they get long, but it doesn't bother me.
Okay.
So like live in freedom. Do you, girl?
I've been wondering that for a long time.
Yeah. Just not for too long.
It gives me the ick about myself. And so like when I see, and sometimes you like miss a spot and you're like,
yeah,
oh
that's
gosh,
hard.
I hope nobody sees that. Like, and especially when it's around the ankle, like it's so gross to me on my, on myself that I like, sometimes I'm like, I have to go. Like I actually just see one right now. I'm like, I gotta go.
Okay. We'll fix that.
Don't look at me. I'm ashamed. Before we end this episode, I would absolutely love for you guys to go follow us on DInfluence on Instagram and TikTok. And maybe you can comment on some of them and tell us what you like, what segments you like, what you want more of, any type of that feedback. We actually do read. We're up on there in the comments and the DMs, and it helps so much. And last thing I want to say is, Divi is launching a new product.
Oh, boom. And, bombshell.
I guess.
Bombshell.
Yeah, we haven't released what it is yet, but if you're thinking it, you're probably right because a lot of people know what it is already. You also posted a video on my Instagram stories where it was in the reflection of the.
Did I?
Yeah, you did.
No.
Okay. Like everybody knows already.
Really? Was this like when? When was this?
When we did the Zoom call. It's okay. You had to really be like looking.
Funny. That's so me.
Yeah. But just keep an eye on Divi, especially DiviOfficial.com. Because you will be seeing what we're launching soon.
It's top secret.
It's top secret. Okay, we love you guys and we'll talk to you later. Bye.